This morning, our scripture reading is found in Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 14. While you're finding that, I have a praise this morning. I went to the eye doctor the other day, and in the early 1990s, he diagnosed me with macular degeneration of the eyes. He told me that by the time I was 60, I would be blind. When I went to see him a couple weeks ago, he said, if you'd have told me when I first diagnosed you that you'd still be able to have 20/20 vision with glasses at age 60, I'd have said you would have been lying. But he was able to get me to 20/20 vision, and my macular D has not changed for several years. He said they've come out with a new medication, and he says, I'm not even going to put you on that because what you're doing already is working. So I want to just thank the Lord that he does perform miracles. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census took place while Cornelius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, every one to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which was called Bethlehem, because he was the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for him in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds abiding out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. Then the angel said to them, Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign of to you. You will find him, the babe, wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. May the Lord bless the reading of his scripture to our hearts.
And in the way that Luke chapter 2 tells us, there are lots of mysteries in life. Yesterday we had a little group here. We did the decorating so far. Next week we add the live poinsettias, because with communion there's just not room for them up here yet. But as we were going through the stuff, all the decorations yesterday, if you remember back last month, we had a baptism. You say, how's that related to Christmas decorations? Well, I'm not just sure, but at the baptism I asked, if somebody knows where one of my sheets are that covers that ugly board thing that, you know, that lifts off the baptismal in the brick church, I'd like to find out where those went. Well, we found one of them. They were in the Christmas decorations. We had our last baptism, I believe, in April or March. I don't know how it could have got in with the Christmas decorations, but it's recovered, which leads us to the mystery, the new mystery. We've lost our manger setting. If you notice on the back table, there's always that manger setting that goes back there. We don't know where it is. We think the donkeys walked off and took it with them. I don't know. So if you happen to see a little box with ceramic manger things here somewhere, we were looking for it. Because it's nowhere to be found amongst the Christmas stuff, and anywhere else we could look without tearing the whole church apart. So, but I found my baptism sheet, so I'm half happy, I guess. But anyway, mysteries happen. You don't know how, where, why, and when it turns up, probably 2 days after Christmas, we'll say, "How did it ever get there?" And in the middle of the night, these things just walk around. And anyway, in the middle of the night, an angel came and gave a baby announcement. The announcement was given to a group of shepherds. I got thinking about this back last spring, about the time I guess the manger scene was walking away under the dark of night. We got a baby announcement in the mail, one that we already knew about. It was of our grandchild. If you remember, we had one tagged on the board back there for quite a while of our grandchild, his little baby announcement, born, you know, welcome, and announcing a baby. And he didn't quite gather angelic attention for his announcement like Jesus did, but it got me thinking, baby announcement, that is what the angel did. So as I thought about that last March, I jotted it down as an idea. Maybe this year, as I look through what are we going to look at for Christmas, there's an idea to look through the angelic baby announcement of Jesus. And then as I began working on this on and off through the fall, I saw that this divides up neatly into four specific parts to the announcement. And there's four specific Sundays before Christmas. Boy, this just works out, doesn't it? So for the next 4 weeks, we are going to look at the announcement of the angel regarding baby Jesus. It's found in the passage we read this morning. It's made up of four distinct things. And today we'll look at the first distinct thing as the angel began to speak to the shepherds in verse 10. Of course, there was that greeting, "Don't be afraid," or "Fear not." And then the angel says, "Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." The first thing of this baby announcement is that this is the baby of joy. This baby will bring joy. Now, it's interesting, and we last Sunday night as a precursor kind of to this message to dispel the myths of joy to the world, that great song. The baby has not yet brought joy to the world all at once at one time. That song really talks about not just his first coming, that he is the reason there will be someday joy in the whole world, but that his second coming is the one that brings joy to the whole world. Because in the last 2,000 years since this baby was born and Jesus came, we have not seen a time in those years where the whole world could be described as a world of joy. Today, you cannot describe planet Earth as a world of joy. I don't believe in my youth, or in your youth, or in our grandparents' youth, this world could be described as a world of joy. The angel was talking about, in one sense, what Jesus will ultimately do, but it's not what he is doing on a worldwide basis today. This verse does not mean that he brings joy to the world, although I know we love that song, and it certainly sings that. But when it talks about he will bring great joy, this verse is talking about a couple of other things. First of all, babies bring joy generally. I am pretty certain that Mary and Joseph, when they had in their hands their newborn little boy, were very joyful. That is usually a typical response to the birth of a child. My wife's cousin's daughter, who lives in New Jersey, we went to their wedding back a year ago in September. She just gave birth in the last week to their first child. And there were some pictures of it. And everybody looked happy. You know, everybody's smiling. New grandparents, new parents, cousins, aunts, uncles. Everybody looked happy. Everybody looked like they were joyful that this new baby had been born. And in a general sense, that is the usual reaction. Babies born are great joyful moments. That's why we send announcements about them. And so when the angel said there's going to be joy that comes from a baby, in one sense, you'd say, well, yeah, all babies bring joy. But then the angel deviates from that when it says, which shall be to all people. Because I'm guessing None of you, not knowing my wife's cousin's daughter, haven't had a bit of joy about that birth, have you? Matter of fact, some of you are saying, I didn't hear about it. You're right, you didn't. That child neither got angelic attention, and there was no big announcement either from angels in the sky. The joy is always limited. The joy is always limited to the parents who know of the birth, to those who are experiencing it, to the grandparents, to the family, friends, close friends. But seldom is it said of anybody born that they have even the potential to bring joy to, as this verse says, all people. And that's a tremendous opportunity that is never met by the birth of your typical baby. So the angel says, I bring you good news of great joy, a baby that's going to bring joy to all people. He's going to bring both good news and great joy to all people because they're tied together. What's different about the baby Jesus is not the event of birth. Babies are born all the time. It's not the idea that babies bring joy to those they're born to. That's not different. What's different is the scope of the effect. That here's a baby that's going to be born that's not like any other baby. Yes, they all bring joy to a point, but this baby has a wider scope of joy that is going to be brought, ultimately in the future, to the whole world. But right now, to many, if not millions, in this world, this baby and his birth still brings joy. As a matter of fact, think of the generational thing. How many of us who were born brought joy to our family when we were born there? Probably most of us. How many of us think that 100 years from now, or 200 years from now, they'll still be talking about your and my birth? Yeah, I don't think so either. Will they? No. We bring joy to a temporary, very short-term piece of time. And our scope is limited, our time is limited. Everything about the birth joy is limited. We are certainly limited to our generation. Jesus is bringing joy 2,000 years later. There aren't many babies born that bring joy 2,000 years later. It just doesn't happen that way. So when you come to verse 10 and you see the scope of what the angel says, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. This angel wasn't even talking about all people of that day. It was talking about all people in days to come. So when you think about the good news of this birth, what is it talking about? Well, the good news of great joy of this birth is in what Jesus did. It's in who he was. It's in what was happening. The reality you would not have seen had the angel not made the announcement. You don't really look like shepherds here today. In spite of those candy cane, kind of helping shepherd illustration, not many of you are walking, leaning on them, the shepherds, you know, clutching his apparatus there to hold him up. You don't look like shepherds, but just imagine for a second, you are a group of shepherds, and you happened, for whatever strange reason, I don't know, to wander through Bethlehem on just the right night that you find this woman named Mary and Joseph in this cattle stall, probably cave-like manger structure cow barn, and you wandered by and you heard a baby cry. You go, that's odd. Because that would have been odd. And you stuck your head in. And you saw Mary, Joseph, the baby, and a bunch of animals. And you said, wow, this is different. Oh, okay. And you moved along, on down the street in Bethlehem. How much joy does that bring to you? Probably not much. More pity, that poor lady. Can you imagine having a baby in a cattle stall? That's awful. This is terrible. A matter of fact, it might be the anti-joy movement as you think about how terrible it is that this had to happen that way. So if you had not this announcement and you just stumbled on these events, there is little chance you'd have ever had any joy about it. Very little chance as you continued on your way. The whole understanding of why this is a child of joy is what the angel has to say concerning the child. The angel says, this child will bring good news of great joy to all people. And the good news of great joy to all people is what this child will grow up to be and do. It is impossible to go through the nursery of your local hospital, if you get that chance. I don't know if you even get the chance anymore. Well, they used to have babies, you could look at them in, behind a window and point out that one will be successful, that one will be a failure, that one will be successful, that one will be president of the United States, pity that poor child. That one will be, you know, when they're laying there as newborns, you can't tell anything about their future. You might have some hints if you got to know something about their parents, their backgrounds, where they're born and all that, but just to look at the baby, there isn't a way in the world you can look at the baby and say, oh, that one's going to be a savior. You must have the announcement. And for the shepherds, Mary, Joseph, and any who will encounter this child who was going to be all of the things we'll look at in future weeks individually, Savior, Christ, the Lord, God only knew. You couldn't know. You couldn't have stuck your head in that stable and said, oh, a Savior, without the announcement. The shepherds just didn't come wandering into Bethlehem looking for a Savior because they were looking for something to do. They came in because they'd had an announcement. And the announcement says, good tidings of great joy. And what Jesus did is the salvation that brings us individual, personal joy. What is joy? Well, joy is an inner happiness and an inner satisfaction that is not based upon the circumstances, but here is based upon the Savior. This does not equate to good circumstances. It equates to a relationship with God through the Savior. In other words, when things aren't going necessarily so well, you may not be happy about the way things are going, but you still can have the joy of the Savior in your heart. And you may not be happy about the situations you're facing, but you can still have that inner joy because of Jesus living through the Holy Spirit in your heart because you're a Christian and a believer. There are few people, if any, who could describe their lives as being lives filled with joyful circumstance. Everything in my life has gone right. Everything is perfect. Everything has gone correct. There are no problems. There are no difficulties. There are no challenges. That's my life. And you're saying, that's who? Because that's not our lives. That might be a good week, maybe extended to a good month. Probably few of us have had that extended to a good year, and certainly none of us have had that extended to a good life. Life is not like that. But in the midst of the good, the bad, the indifferent, the boring, everything that makes up life, what this verse is talking about is that a relationship to God through Jesus Christ gives us an inner joy. The good news that is referred to in verse 10, I'm going to read a couple verses. You don't have to turn with me to them. But this good news is what Jesus did and gives to us, even though we're 2,000 years down the road later almost. In John, Jesus said this, John 15:11, these things I have spoken to you, these are the words of Jesus, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. The adult Jesus, now ministering and preaching and teaching with his disciples, says, hey, let me tell you something. The things I speak, the things I teach, the things I'm about to do and have done for you, they are done that my joy, the joy of Jesus, may be in you. Now, when Jesus said this to his disciples, it wasn't a joyful time. The disciples were at the end of Jesus' ministry. It was turning against him. He was telling them he was about to be crucified. He was about to die. He was about to leave them. He was talking about leaving them and leaving the Spirit to be with them. And they weren't exactly excited or happy that he was talking about leaving them and not being with them. The circumstances were not looking great. And in the midst of all that, what does he say? He says, I've spoken these things to you that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. How can we have fullness of joy when the circumstances don't look so great? Well, the idea is that we are filled up with His joy. The idea of being filled or remaining in you is the idea of a cup that is full and overflowing. I've not found overflowing cups to be good things. Have you? Usually, in most settings, an overflowing cup is not a good thing. They're not designed to overflow. That's not the point of having a cup. But in this case, that word, an overflowing cup, is turned around in this verse that Jesus says, because he says it's, in this case, an overflow of something good. It's an overflow of my joy, and that your joy may be full and even overflowing. That's what Jesus provided for even you and I. In Romans, it says this. Paul wrote, "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." Both of these verses strike me. Something different is going on than joy to the world. Now again, we love the song. How many times in one Christmas season will you hear the song Joy to the World? How many times will you sing the song Joy to the World? It's a great song. And it talks about his birth, but that joy has yet to come to the world. But that joy can come to everyone who believes that he died for them. You see, while it may not be joy to the whole world that's going on today, it certainly can be joy to my world and me. He is the child that brings joy to all who follow him, to all who name him as Savior and believe by faith, not just that he was born, but he died on the cross to forgive our sins, was raised miraculously by the power of God to life, and today lives in heaven as our Savior, as the one who died to provide us forgiveness. In that, and in that good news of that gospel message, there is great joy. In this time where the Spirit of God indwells us, there's great joy because the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, and on it goes. When you reflect upon what Jesus has done, not just by being born, but by living the life that he would live, and then believing that he did it, believing that it's the only chance or way we have to a place with God in heaven, and that he was doing it to provide that, and he was doing it out of love, when that is our belief and our faith and our firm trust, we will find the indwelling Spirit gives us joy. We talk about mysteries. There's a lot of mysteries in life, not only where the manger setting went from last Christmas to this year, but there are a lot of mysteries in life. There are a lot of things at the time we are in them, we haven't a clue to understand them. That's what life is about. Life is about trying to catch up in our brains to what's going on around us. Why is this happening? Why not that? Why this? Why that? Life is filled with those dilemmas. It was the same for the apostles. It was the same for Mary and Joseph. It was the same for people in 2,000 years between Mary and Joseph and us. And in all of those dilemmas, if that's what you are drawing your joy from, you will not be a joyful person. The child of joy, Jesus, brings joy not because of any circumstance around us, because of a circumstance that 2,000 years ago almost preceded us, and that was dying for our sin. What he did brings a message of good news, good tidings, of great joy, which shall be available for all people. And this is the misnomer of joy to the world, that we don't quite perhaps grasp. We just like the song. But it is to all people. Joy is available. Jesus is available. But does that mean everybody has him? No, he's just available. And I think we've talked about this before. It comes up in many messages of Scripture. Availability does not mean you will have it. Interesting, we just went through the Thanksgiving holiday. You remember that? Some of you said, yes, I'm still trying to eat my last piece of my apple pie. We just went through Thanksgiving. And it's amazing to me the deals on the day after Thanksgiving. By the way, I was not found in a store on the Friday after Thanksgiving. You can depend upon that. I was not there. But the deals are amazing, some of them. And you see all the commercials. And the one thing that sticks out to me, if you read the written commercials that are in paper, or if you see the ones on your TV but you can't read that print, it says available only to the first 100 customers. Or first 200 customers. Or some of the chintzy stores, 5 customers, you know. Because there's only 5 of those wonderful whatevers there at that sale price, and the first 5 get them, or the first 100 get them. It is not available to everybody. It's only available to those who get there first. Now, you read that in the fine print, but the announcer says this. You need to get there because this great, late, wonderful widget is worth millions of dollars, but on sale for this day only for $25. And you go, ooh, I got to get one of those things. I need a gadget like that. And then you get to the store and you find out, oh, those 100 are gone. And you say, but the guy said they're available. No, they really weren't available. Available would mean what? That for everybody who ever came, they'd have enough of them to give them to everybody. If they anticipated, say, 1,000 customers, they'd have 2,000 of those whatever gadgets available. If they thought 10,000 people were coming, they'd have 20,000 in the storeroom ready for action to give to you at that great price. That little fine print is they're not really available. So you don't get one because you were too late. You see, Jesus has none of those fine prints, none of those little, oh, by the way, you got to get there first. Jesus is available to all people, period. It's just that simple, period. Now, if the things that were available on the day after Thanksgiving that were for sale was something that you've never wanted, something you had no interest in, something you certainly weren't going to get, whether it was on sale or even free, you didn't go and you didn't take it. And unfortunately, in Jesus' hand, that is those who some of them don't believe. I'm not interested in what's available to me. Heaven, salvation, Jesus, I'm not all that interested. I'm not going down to hear about that. I got other things to do. So there's apathy. While he's available, some people say, I don't have time for that. Some people maybe are even hostile. I have belief that I'm going to get to heaven my way. He doesn't need to tell me what he wants me to do. I'm doing it my way. And they're hostile, so they don't want him. But available doesn't mean everybody gets one. And available for Jesus doesn't mean everybody takes him. Many will not respond. Because the choice is ultimately yours, and it's ultimately mine. He isn't forcing salvation down our throats, holding us on the ground and saying, you will believe in me. He's putting his arms on and saying, I'm available if you want to trust me. And there's a big difference. And in our age and in our era and in this time and in this place, it is sad to say that while he is available, he's ignored. He's just ignored. Oh yes, Jesus is available, I know that, but I don't have time. And thus they don't have him. They don't believe. They don't respond. And so availability and the joy and the good news and all that goes with Jesus, while available, is not taken. And that's the sad part of the joy of Jesus. The joy of Jesus that's available, not to make the circumstances better, not to make life brighter in your job or your situations or anything else. The things about Jesus that are available, that inner joy of knowing him and having a relationship to God through him and having the Spirit of God dwelling in our hearts because we know him and believe upon him, that is available. But that is also the same availability that many will ignore or turn away from. Because it is an honest choice that every human gets to make. At Christmas time, we see the hint of the joy of Jesus in our society. We see a hint of what, you know, focusing on something maybe giving or helping others or doing something for others can bring. But that's only a hint of what's available. Christ is available. The shepherds, what did they do hearing the announcement? We'll look at the rest of the announcement in the coming weeks, but what did they do? They felt that they needed to see this thing. They felt that by description of the announcement, this baby needs to be sought out. And so they went to see him. Would it be nice that those who hear of Christmas, even this season, would seek to understand what it's all about? Wouldn't that be nice? They hear a little bit, they get a sense of just a touch of the season, and then January comes and it's all forgotten. And the joy that they might have felt just a touch from doing something good for someone or something like that is gone as well, because they don't have it within. It's just an outside joy. It's a seasonal thing. It's a happy time of year. People are happier. And once the season ends, it wears off and nobody's happy anymore. And on they go with life. But the source of inner joy, whether it's good, bad, ugly, or indifferent on any given day, is the indwelling Holy Spirit that comes to you when you place your faith in Jesus as your Savior. And that joy, he may not bring to the entire world. He makes it available to the entire world, but he brings it to you if you believe in him. And that's what joy is about. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for announcing the child of joy through the words of the angels. We thank you for announcing that this Savior is available for us to take as our Savior, to have a personal, one-on-one relationship to you, our Father in heaven, through Jesus, by simple faith and trust and belief. Help us to experience that within our own lives as we have taken you by faith and believed you died for us. And help us, even as we face the communion table, to be reminded of the end of your life, that without the end, the beginning would be meaningless. The baby became a child of joy because of dying for us on the cross and being raised from the dead. Well, thank you for reminding of this to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Number one.